Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Talking some Titans. And to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm glad you can be optimistic this morning, Robert, because I know you had a horrible weekend from start to finish. And I'm glad you can still approach this segment with a sunshiny face.
You know, it's called being a pro. That's just what I do. It's just what I am. Just a pro here today.
Experienced pro.
Congratulations to your Bears for their big win yesterday, giving up 470 yards passing to Joe Flacco.
it was 457.
Oh, sorry.
It was, people are like, aren't you happy that they won? I'm like, well, yeah, but I want them to be good more than I want them to win. And that's terrible, blowing that game, like they did. I mean, they're fortunate to grab it back, but giving up those two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes is awful.
Flacco's slinging it out there, man. Old
only
man
outdone
River.
by the Bengals' awfulness. So
good stuff out
but
there.
But it was an appropriate matchup of I mean, the Bears aren't black, they're navy, but it looked like a lot of orange and black for Halloween.
It did.
By the way, Robbie, why didn't you take the rant on LaFleur? You need that
we
this
got,
week?
We
you
got
need one this
time.
Week?
Yeah, we got plenty of time for that.
All right, good.
How about a rant on a couple of those passes by Jordan Love?
It'll be all right. I ain't worried about him.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
Rex Ryan. Cue Rex Ryan.
I ain't worried about him. A team I am worried about, the Tennessee Titans, dropped to 1-8, Corey. After a 27-20 loss to the Chargers. Now, if you told me heading into the game that the Titans would score 20 points and that they would sack Justin Herbert 6 times, I'd probably feel okay about it, other than, those 20 points that they scored, 6 of them basically were a result from the offense. You got a special teams touchdown, a defensive touchdown in the game, and the offense did basically nothing throughout the game. So what's your big takeaway from that standpoint, watching the game play out the way that it did against the Chargers yesterday?
Well, they did things that we've been talking about them having to do for a couple of months now that, knowing where the offense was, we're like, look, the defense and the special teams have got to find a way to score. They just do. And they did. And that was great to see because, you look back at this game and it's not like 90% of their season. You say this is a game they actually had a chance to win. And I know there's a lot of frustration over play calling right now, and I understand, I do, but it's still not as big of an issue as an offensive line that couldn't get a yard, all right? Whether it was a direct snap to the running back or a handoff to the running back, they couldn't get a yard. They have 3 first-round picks on that offensive line. They have 700 pounds of linemen on the right side of it. They brought another offensive lineman in there to block as a lead back, and they couldn't get a yard. That's the bigger problem to me than whatever the play call, was. The Eagles get a yard every time, so much so that everyone wants to illegalize the play that they used to do it, but it's basically just getting a stronger push than everybody else. And they couldn't get a push. And, if you get a push, no one's complaining about play calling. You got to be able to block. Now, the 3rd-and-2 call, I hated. I don't know why you fake a handoff to your running back, from your running back to your quarterback. No one is believing that. That was unfortunate. But still, it comes down to execution at times. That's a bigger issue most of the time than play calling.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I did wonder, watching it, did Mike McCoy just think the Wildcat is a new thing now in the NFL? It's like going back to his.
Well, it's supposed to give you an extra blocker most of the time. Running with your quarterback position is supposed to give you an extra blocker, and so I understand the idea behind it, but. Whatever. They didn't block it. I mean, it was blown up.
Cam Ward yesterday, some good, but, 6 points for the offense, and there was the one notable wide-open throw that he just somehow dirted Van Jefferson. What would you call that? A step back day, idle day? What would you call it?
I mean, it wasn't a great day. I mean, early on, you know, Io Manners got a drop, and he threw that ball aside, then hit Van Jefferson right in the hands. He's got to catch that one. The one down the middle, yeah. All I could think was he didn't have a firm grip on the ball, because that was
– it was bad.
He got like halfway there, and he's wide open for a huge game. Those were three misses, and that's not good. Now, he also had the ball taken out of his hands in several key situations. And, you know, like the third and two when they decided to wildcat it and fake the handoff to him. You know, they did take the ball out of his hands in those situations, and that's tough. But I continue to not understand their utilization of the tight end position. Gunnar Helm had one target yesterday. Did Chigakonkwo have more than two? They just didn't. But, you know, the bigger problem is they don't run enough offensive plays. How many offensive plays do they run in the game? 40?
Yeah, it's bad.
In a league where you normally run 55, 60? So that's tough. So, you know, again, you're looking for him to elevate, you know, the offense, and he didn't. There were a few nice plays, there's nothing consistent enough. It's why they don't finish drives, because they're just not consistent enough. You know, that the drive that ended at the one was one of their better drives of the entire season. They converted their only third down of the game in that drive. They had no penalties on that drive, and, you know, they kept themselves on track, you know, pretty much in that drive, you know, but at the end, they just couldn't hit it with the exclamation point. And it was a big drive because, you know, they gave up a 99-yard drive afterwards. It was a huge 14-point swing. What was the score? Were they down seven, or would they have taken the lead when that one happened?
That's a good question. I need to go back and look at it. I can't remember the score.
I'm trying to erase this game from my memory, Corey. You're forcing me remember.
No, I mean, so it was there. You know, it was another play, and this has nothing to do with nothing. But it's just the difference between, like, we talk about a game of inches and how, like, things can change in a hurry. When it was 27-20 late in the game, Kevondre Sweat jumped up and tipped the ball and knocked it down, and I think forced a punt. Well, and that's a great play, but if he doesn't touch it, that ball hits Cody Barton right in the chest. I mean, right in the chest for his second interception of the game, and the Titans are really in business. There's so many little areas where, you know, things either A, you can just go your way, or B, you got to convert, and it can be a different outcome. I think that's the frustration for fans as they saw a game they thought that they could actually win.
So, Corey, the trade deadline coming up tomorrow, what do you make of what we could see from the Titans? And you just brought up Sweat. Could he be a part of it? What do you make of, like, Sweat, where he currently stands in this organization right now?
Well, from what I hear from people I know, is I think it's certainly a possibility. But, you know, he's got – this is the same thing with the Jarvis Brownlee deal. You know, you're not giving up a rental player, all right? You're giving up a guy with 2 years left on his contract. So why are you giving him away for anything less than a pick? Because, you know, otherwise – just have him on your roster until you have somebody else to replace him. That's my opinion. And then deal him and do pick swap him or whatever you want to do. So I don't know what their price tag is, you know, for him. He's not – I would not say he's a premium need for most teams going into, you know, the playoff hunt. You know, most of them are looking for, you know, pass rush help, something along that lines. You know, from that aspect, I think, you know, Draymond Jones, you know, is going to have the most appeal. And frankly, if I were the Titans right now, I think because they have so many holes and they need so many pass rushers because they're going to have to draft another one, I would consider re-signing him. I mean, he's got sacks in four straight games. You know, he's proven to be a good player. Why not keep him? But he's the one guy that I would really look for on the defense that's got appeal. You know, obviously, you know, Arden's been hurt, and Arden's very inconsistent anyway. So I don't know what you're gonna see from him. But the other one I'm looking for is, you know, the Packers just lost Tucker Kraft. Is Chigakonkwo a target for Green Bay?
You and Robbie share a brain. He earlier in the show absolutely advocated. He wants him. Bring Chig to Green Bay.
Well, look, I think somebody's going to have Chig next year and understand what he does well, and they're going to throw him 100 passes in the season, and everybody in Nashville is going to go, gosh, why didn't he do that here? And, well, because he was never a priority here.
You really think he's that good? That's 100 passes is a elite tight end.
Well, I mean, he's caught 50 passes a year for the last 2 years. I mean, I didn't say he's going to have 100 receptions. I said 100 targets.
Sure, sure. That's still probably 80 catches, right? 75, 70?
65. Yeah, I would say, you know, 70, 75 probably.
This sounding better and better, Robbie. Are you sold?
Sign me up. I'm here for it.
No, but I mean, look.
I think it could work out.
I think there are people who understand he's not a great blocker. He's not.
Yep.
But he is really good with the ball in his hands. And I think someone will understand that and understand how to utilize him more and be really grateful. And if you're the Packers, and, you know, look, the Super Bowl looks pretty up for grabs this year, last I saw. I mean, this was a wild weekend. You know, the Packers lost, Lions lost. Who else lost? I mean, it was just crazy. Chiefs lost.
Colts turn into a pumpkin.
You turn the football over, you lose. The Raiders lost. Oh my gosh, that's a joke. thanks for catching guys
nice.
On that one.
I'm like, wait, what?
but yeah, I mean, so if you're the Packers, you can't give up on this year. I mean, it's right there, and so, you know, I think they've got to address it with. If there's somebody you can get to help you who's athletic and can score rather than just getting a guy, I think they should do it because, they'll probably be able to do it for a pick swap.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what that looks like from the Titans because I'm with you. Like, if you're the Titans, at some point are you going to stop creating needs for yourself? Chig is not nobody thinks Chig is like some great player out there, but – he's not going to be all that expensive, I don't think. And there's just so many holes they've got, Corey, on this roster that at some point, like, stop creating more for yourself.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to draft somebody else, okay? And then are they going to be ready to play next year when you do?
Right.
You know, because, you know, Helm and Martin Robinson are two young guys. So you're only going to get younger. It wouldn't hurt to re-sign a couple of guys who are, like you said, modestly priced and have shown some ability to make plays in this league.
Well, Corey, great stuff as always. Congratulations on the victory for your Chicago Bears. We'll see if they can keep things rolling here. Kind of a nerdy celebration by Ben Johnson in the locker room, but I'll let that slide this week.
It always is. It always is. It's painful.
Yeah.
But you know what? I will take painful celebrations over painful losses.
That's good. So, the Lions would like to have that nerd back in their building. I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what. Look at the NFC North. I mean, the Lions are 5-3. The Bears are 5-3. The Packers are 5-2-1 because
Ties.
They gave up 40 to Dallas.
Yeah.
Nice.
Vikings and, 4-4.
And I was going to say, and the Vikings are now right there at 4-4. That division, I mean, it is. It's a gauntlet. It and the AFC West are really, really tough minus the Las Vegas Raiders.
Corey, we will talk to you next week, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck with the trade deadline.
Thank you. Corey Curtis.
Appreciate it.
Brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Titans fall to the Chargers 27-20. Your thoughts on that game as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today prior to the Monday night football game. Tonight's Monday night matchup, the Cardinals taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Taking your thoughts on the Titans loss, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Great.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, in between listening to the game, you know, because I like to listen to the game, and looking at it a little bit on TV, I want to say, man, that, you know, to put up 6 points as far as an offense for 60 minutes of football is pretty pathetic. It's the bottom of the barrel. And it seems like the special teams and defense gifted the offense 14 points. Like, how do you not score a touchdown in 60 minutes of football? And I've always said it, and I'll continue to say it, and I'm glad that y'all take my calls, and I'm glad the other shows take my call, except for one, but Cam Ward is not the answer. I'm sorry. He is not the answer. And they need to do a better job in recruiting and signing players that's going to come in and do a job. That's all we ask. Do your job. That's it. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it. I'm just glad Trey's watching some more of the games now.
Hey, he checked out a little bit.
He watched a little bit.
So, wait. What show doesn't
I don't know.
What show has banned Trey?
He didn't stop.
Do we know?
I don't know.
One of our shows? One of our shows?
I'm not sure.
We'll have to find out.
I know Next Man Up, Jake Lyman, they take his call all the time.
So it's either Chase, it's Big Joe. Feeling a little threatened?
Maybe Adam?
Joe? What's wrong?
Did Adam put the kibosh?
Yeah, Vingan?
I don't know.
Not accepting calls?
That is not acceptable. Not accepting his calls is not acceptable for all the shows on this on all the programs on this station. So we're going to get down to the bottom of it. I mean, 6 points is pretty bad.
Yeah, he's right. It is.
Like, if we're being serious, though, and I understand Trey's been consistent here, like, I don't know that Cam Ward isn't the answer. I don't. Like, we were never going to know that he is or isn't. Were we this year?
It had been very difficult. Now, it's not been good. Not been good. So, did it automatically doom him to failure? No. But, I mean, there's no doubt it hasn't been good.
So. Well, look, there are Titans fans who are like, oh, you can see, he's clearly not the problem. Everything's great with it. No, you're
which
a little
crazy.
Yeah, that's just because you really want the number one pick to be the number one pick, and you want the Titans to finally have drafted a franchise quarterback successfully, which they have not done since Steve McNair.
Correct.
But I also – I'm not out on him.
No,
at all. I mean, he's got a chance. I think he's got a chance to be a solid to good QB in this league. He has a chance to be a good quarterback in this league. He's not a move the earth and put a team on my back number one pick like you hope number one picks would be, number one overall picks would be. But you kind of knew that too, right? I mean, no one really thought he was. So
except maybe the Titans.
Yeah, maybe. But were they even like, well, he's not that, but we need a quarterback. You know, I don't know.
If that's how they approached it, that's not good.
No, but I mean, if he turns out to be a good quarterback, then you can win if you do other things well, which we'll see if these guys can do any of that.
Said back to the phone line, welcome in George from the Borough to the program. George, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. It's difficult to watch Sam Darnold go out and play like an MVP, and like the Titans were just disinterested in him last offseason. Like, was he not good enough for the Titans? Because I remember PK, I think, come on this program and basically say, yeah, the Titans aren't going to go after Sam Darnold. They're not interested. Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, they had to unretire Warren Moon's jersey number for the best quarterback in a bad quarterback class. I mean, like, to follow up with Trey, 6 offensive points is just embarrassing. And I'm trying to think, like, how does this team stop being such a dumpster fire? And then, like this Chad Brinker guy, like, what was he doing when they drafted, like, Jarvis Brownlee or Tavondre Sweat or trading for Snead or hiring Callahan and then firing him? And then, like, are us fans, like, are we supposed to believe Chad Brinker is going to turn things around? I can tell you, the answer is no. This team's got a hole at almost every position, and then they'll have to fix the whole coaching staff. I just personally don't see things magically getting better by the time the new stadium opens. And there's no way the owner, they planned on being this big of a dumpster fire in the league. They're the biggest dumpster fire in the league. There's no way they planned on being the biggest dumpster fire when they opened the new stadium. Granted, there's still a little time, but this team is such a mess. But I still enjoy it. You know, they're 1-8, but that's all I've got, gentlemen.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
That was a record for saying dumpster fire in one call.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Not that it's an inappropriate word. I do agree. Look, on Sam Darnold, you're right. I mean, PK at one point was basically like, you could tell it was like, meh.
They're not doing it.
From inside. And I agree that it's a mistake. I believe said it at the time. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's good. Did everybody know he was going to be this good with Seattle this year? I don't think so. And again, we'll see. They get to the playoffs. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll, you know, turtle and it won't be good, but he's good.
Yeah.
He's a good quarterback. You could do a lot worse, and then you could have dealt with other things. But they didn't go that route.
They did not.
I think there's a couple things said there that I would push back on, though.
We will get to that going next. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans lose 27-20 yesterday to the Chargers. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Phillip to the program. Phillip, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a couple of things here. So my first problem is offensive play calling. Once you see a play doesn't work one time, okay, two times, then you run into third and fourth time, that's an issue with coaching. I mean, the play calling, that's just terrible. Also, they need to get rid of that flea flicker play. That play hasn't worked in a couple of games as well. And the wide receiver reverse that they keep running, It just doesn't get yards. You would think they would know that these plays are not working and not getting yards, but they keep continuously trying to run those plays. My next issue is with, I guess, the organization always saying that, like, they're trying to draft, retain, or whatever it is, develop, retain the players. But they've already traded away our two young corners. And if you're trying to develop players on offense, Gunnar Ham should be out there more. He only had one target for one catch, I think, yesterday. Didn't see him out there at all. You would want Cam Ward to actually be running these plays on fourth and inches or something like that to get him more experience in the red zone and stuff instead of doing wildcat plays. Like, how are you developing him if he's not really running more play? Like, I would want him to be out there on that fourth and inch play, put the ball in his hands, say, hey, this is the play. If you don't see it, run it in for a yard or something instead of saying we're going to run trick plays. That's not developing your quarterback, in my opinion. And the young receivers, DK has looked good in two games. If you're developing him, give him some more targets. I think they threw the ball to him twice, and one was on those stupid screen plays they keep running that's not working. And the other one was like a little route that he ran that went for like 5 yards maybe. Like, get them down the field, get them some targets, and you're drafting, developing, and retaining players that way. I'm not seeing what route they're going by when they say stuff, but they're doing completely opposite of what they're saying. And I'll hang up and listen to y'all opinion on it.
Thank you. Good call there. I think there's a lot of truth to what he was talking about there. You know, that was, to me, I said it earlier in the show, the disappointing part beyond the obvious of not scoring any points on offense yesterday was – it felt like you broke through with DK on offense against the Colts. I mean, 7 for 93. And then you target him 3 times yesterday. He ends up with 1 catch for 5 yards. Like, got to do a better job of getting him more involved.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, on the draft, develop, retain, and then what we're saying on the field thing, look, they are still trying to win a game. I'm not saying they made good choices to win a game, but, like, once you get into a game, you know, you're not calling things. Let's see this guy in this situation. It's not an exhibition game. You're trying to win a game, right? So, and also the problem, another problem here with all this stuff is, like Corey said earlier, they had 44 plays.
Yeah,
they had 44 plays. They had 206 yards of offense. They went 1 for 9 on third down. They couldn't sustain anything. So they couldn't. You know, there's so many things that they probably would have liked to do yesterday, but they're too bad to be able to get to the point of doing it. And that's still. I mean, I thought yesterday was just another really bad day for the offensive line. It's a bad offensive line. Again, it's not the worst that we've seen. It's better than the last 2 years, but it's marginally better, and it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad, and, you know, they ran the ball, I guess, a little bit better yesterday when they weren't calling the wildcat plays. You know, Pollard had 10 carries for 56 yards, so 5-6 a carry for him. But they still, they're not very threatening at all running the football. And then you factor that in, just not very many plays in general. Some of that is them just not being able to sustain anything. And the other thing is, like, when your defense, you know, you give up a 99-yard drive that took 10 minutes off the clock or whatever it was there, I mean, that's a long time where your offense just not on the field.
Yeah, I mean, 10-minute difference in basically time of possession, 34-20 to 25-40. So just a lot of – so, you know, I do – I mean, I generally agree, like, get, and this is where I would even – like someone earlier on the text line was like, well, why are you trading Ridley? You know, you need him for Cam Ward. I would argue, you know, again, if you can get a return, and I have no idea if they can, but if you can, well, this is draft, develop, retain prime time right here, which is Cam throwing to the rookies. Like he said, get Gunnar Helm more involved. Make sure DK is involved and gets more than the small opportunities he got in this game, and just go forward with the young guys. Now, to the previous call, Robbie, I just want, you know, every once in a while, just throw in there the reality for the Titans in terms of, like, the dumpster fire never changing. Look, Brian Callahan, he'll be remembered as a bad coach, one of the worst coaches of franchise history. It was not a bad hire. I'm sorry, it was not a bad hire, you know? Now, maybe in the interview process they should have noticed something, but he probably was really good in the interview process because the guy's good talking to people, good with people. He turned out to be a bad head coach. They could absolutely hire a good coach. And if you hire a good coach in this cycle, and if Mike Borgonzi is good, then you can still get out of this mess. The league is designed for you to get out of this mess. I'm not saying they will for sure, but you're not eternally doomed. You just have to – you got to end up making good – and frankly, you got to get lucky. And I would say with Callahan, to a point, you got unlucky.
Yeah, to a point. I mean, look, it's a league designed to recover quickly. We'll see how quickly they can able to do it. But if you get a good coach in here, number one, that probably means good things for your quarterback. You know, I don't know who that coach is going to be. Like, I've heard people say they should limit it to guys who have done the job before. And I understand the thinking behind that. I don't think you should limit it to anything in this thing. Like, I think it needs to be, especially when you fired the coach when you did, like when you fired Brian Callahan, there's earlier in the years you fired him, like you need to have a wide-ranging plan here of trying to nail down the best possible candidate for your job. And if that's a defensive guy, cool. Hire the defensive guy. If that's a guy who's been a head coach before, cool. If it's not, you know what? Cool. Just because the last one didn't work doesn't mean the next one can't. Like, don't limit yourself in the search for the next head coach.
Yeah, like when they hired Callahan, all we were talking about was this is the model that's working. This is the popular model that's working as much or more than anything else in the NFL, which is the successful offensive coordinator, whether play calling or not, to come in and be that play calling head coach. Didn't work out.
Well, and by the way, just for some clarity on that, like George on the YouTube chat is saying, Brian Callahan not being a bad hire is certainly a hot take. The point is, it worked out poorly.
Oh,
the process involved to get to him was not flawed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your point.
Yeah, like George, argue with me on it. Again, like, well, let's go back and look. Everything we said, everything Callahan said at the time, his press conference, everything the entire league said at the time was, oh, great job, Titans. Oh, you beat out some teams for Brian Callahan. Like, I'm sorry. He turned out to not be a good head coach. Also, we are looking at Mike Vrabel, who is 7-2 and has a shot to be NFL Coach of the Year for the second time in his career, and he went 6-18 in his last 24 games with this freaking dumpster fire. Let me use dumpster fire again. We haven't used it enough on this. So I think the Titans are in position to make coaches look pretty bad at this point. I'm not flipping around and saying, you guys screwed up, Brian Callahan was good. He wasn't, but you gotta take everything into account.
Lenny says, well, when we get a new coach, a new quarterback, and a good supporting cast, we should be fine. It's from Lenny on the text line.
There you go.
You land all those things, should be in good shape out there if you're the Titans. We'll see what happens on that.
Not necessarily the new quarterback, Lenny. Yeah, we'll see. It'll be a bit. He's going to get time. He's going to get his chance to, and hopefully the Titans will actually give him a chance.
Yeah, like the offensive line, I know people are sick of talking about it because it's been so bad around here for so long. But again, you watch them play now, and I'm with you. Like, they're not completely horrible, like snap to snap. like they've been for the last couple of years. But it's still, I mean, yesterday not a very good day for the Mandor. Every now and then Latham still have some reps that just don't go well. And it's like, man, like what is he at right tackle moving forward? Like, because if he doesn't work out at right tackle, I mean, how devastating is that to what you're trying to build moving forward here? If you get another year down the road and you're again having to go draft another right tackle and a left tackle at that point, just not good.
Yeah.
Did you see Bowers yesterday?
Steelers. I sure did. He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good. Yes. Jared from Spring Hill. Cue him. He already said it earlier on the text line. But Steelers fans, I must say, tip of the cap to you. All of you who said, oh, thank you for taking Dan Moore off our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been okay without him.
They have. Yeah, they have been. Texture says, let's talk about how this new GM absolutely did well in this draft. And I think based off the picks this year, if we have something to look forward to on that front. Yes, except obviously the verdict out on Ward. That's and then the second round. I mean, the top two picks of the draft right now are very much up in the air. One of them, I would say, he's hurt, injury, but like it doesn't look great as a second round pick. The fourth round picks look good.
That's good.
No doubt about that.
Yep. We'll see. I mean, Winston, we'll see as he becomes more involved in the defense. And all
I'm optimistic about him. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's going to come down. Like, if your fourth round picks are really good, but your first and second round picks don't end up being any good, it's not a good draft there. So we'll see what happens on that front. You know, Oladejo's been hurt. And Ward, you know, I think he's in such a bad spot right now that he individually is looking bad on some plays, and he's just getting almost zero help out there. And, you know, maybe I'm overblowing this play too much from yesterday, but to me, I couldn't help but think, oh, boy, here they go again. When on, like, the first play of the game, Ward escapes, rolls to the right, gets around Khalil Mack, fires a bullet to Io Manor, and he just drops it right off the bat. I'm like, God, here we go. I mean, they can't get anything going from the jump offensively.
Yeah. All right, Texter. This could end up being like a new Callahan thing or Tannehill thing for me. It says, so you're saying the Titans did everything right when hiring Callahan? I mean, like, guys, this is a second guess. A coach can prove to be bad.
Do you guys think that every coach that doesn't work out is just like automatically the team screwed up in hiring them?
Like you think like his interview was like Step Brothers, where he was like ripping farts like in the interview and with the tuxedo
sometimes
on?
Sometimes it just doesn't work. Like, sometimes the process is right, the resume is good, and they're just not a good head coach.
He was going to get an NFL head coaching job, 100%. He was going to get one. It didn't work out here. And you find out about people when they get these opportunities, especially like the ones who haven't been head coaches. You know, that's part of the risk. But, yeah, I can't sit here and say they did anything wrong.
The one thing I would say about the process of it, and this is as much on Callahan, but, I mean, I guess you could blame this on the Titans brass, too, for allowing it to happen. Like, when you're going through the process with Callahan, it's like, all right, so what are you doing for your staff? And he comes back with, well, I'm hiring a first-time offensive coordinator and a first-time defensive coordinator to go along with me. Probably at that point somebody said, I don't know if that's a great idea, Brian. Let's not do that.
And the offensive coordinator, my dad used to take us to the movies.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah. We saw Forrest Gump. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans. One more segment coming up next. Rapid fire. Titans lose. Vandy loses. The Vols lose. Pretty bad weekend of local football around here. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Not a good weekend for the local football teams around here. Vanderbilt loses at Texas. Vols are basically eliminated from the playoff after a loss at Oklahoma or against Oklahoma. Titans do what they do and lose football games. So there is that.
So it's the first week of November.
Yep.
And those three teams have been teams in this state for more than 25 years, and I'm assuming this is the first time you can say, as of November, one of those three teams still has hope, and it is Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I would say that's probably fair.
Yeah.
Probably the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, Tennessee just turning the ball over the way they did in the first half after a half that you dominated. You lose that game. I mean, Vanderbilt, they got blitzed by Texas early in the game. We read off the stat earlier. I need to go find the stats for the whole game. But 200 yards passing for Arch Manning at the half. 185 after the catch. 185 yak.
Incredible.
For Texas in the first half.
I mean, the tackling was so bad. It was so bad for Vanderbilt. It looked, you know, for a little while, again, everybody wants to immediately revert to this. I know I have a Vanderbilt friend who said, you know, he had like other, like a text thread where everybody's like, oh, it's just the old Vanderbilt again. It's like, calm down. But it looked bad. It looked like a team that with a lot more talent taking it to a team with a lot less talent. To Pavia's credit, I thought Pavia actually played well in this game, but he probably also fell out of the Heisman race. I mean, you lose another game like that, and, you know, I mean, you have to win those games and be great in those games to have a chance. But he was fine. I mean, he ended up with huge numbers because they came back. They also, I mean, they are so close to getting that onside kick. Boy, they should have had it. And what a shocker that would have been. But the defense is, you know, against teams with, like, a lot of talent, and teams that I think it was a great plan of attack by Texas. Let's put it on the perimeter and let's see if these guys can tackle our receivers, Wingo and those guys. You know, they're still going to be at a pretty big disadvantage. You can see that Saturday.
Yeah. And now what does it mean for them moving forward? You got Auburn coming up, who has just fired their coach. So Hugh Freeze is out at Auburn. By the way, I mean, we'll get into this, I'm sure, later this week. There are so many jobs that are open or going to be open in college football. And there's really not that many good coaches. Like, I'm very interested to see how this shakes out.
Yeah, well, what there are, maybe, what there will be, is a little bit more looking at the, you know, the Group of Five level, which is some of the best success stories in recent years have been from there. You know, obviously John Summerall from Tulane, but there are candidates who could be good coaches. But as far as established. Top of the, I mean, it's everybody's going after Lane. Franklin will get something.
What if Lane doesn't go? Like, what is LSU Florida going to do?
Yeah, that's a good question.
They're going to get up with a good coach.
I think one of them will probably, Florida's not going to do they're not going to do the Group 5 thing because Napier didn't work out, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say one of them is probably going to go get John Summerall. But then is Kentucky going to get into the mix here? Because right now we're at $185 million in buyouts.
Yeah.
When you combine all the coaches' fires, we're going to blow past $200 million, but Kentucky could open up too.
Yeah, I think he will. Although,
they open up because they think they're going to get Summerall.
Yeah. Like, couldn't you make the case if you're a Kentucky, and I know Kentucky fans do not want to hear this, and I understand why, but couldn't you make your case if you're Kentucky to maybe hold on another year for a year where it's less just, I mean, the job market is flooded right now for coaches in college football. And where does a Kentucky job rank on that?
You can make that case, but what's the ledger looking like in the next year? Mm. Fans, donors. I mean, when you have a lame duck coach now, I think that's why we see all this, because it's like, how can you justify that? You're just going to dry up, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. We've got Monday Night Football tonight, Cardinals and the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And then it's a week off for the Titans. Week off on the football front. They do not play. They do have the trade deadline coming up tomorrow. So who could be on the move? We're going to spend a lot of tomorrow's show, I'm sure, discussing who could be on the move for the Tennessee Titans.
Will we have at least one Titans player in a different place by the time we start our show tomorrow?
Yes.
I agree.
Yes, we will. Chig Okonkwo.
Arden Key.
Okay.
Chig to the Packers?
Chig to the Packers.
Okay. You're wishing that into existence.
That does it for us today on the program. Next Man Up is coming up next. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their Monday. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.